Joining us now, the Maple Tota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Poulin. Pooley, what did you think of the nature of Cooper's little diatribe postgame last night?
Well, he's a bright guy. We know that. And I think that was for his team in the sense that the only way we lost was a too many men on the ice goal. That's the only way this team could lose. And, guys, I've been in that position before after a game where I was so upset and so angry. Sometimes it was directed at my own team that I couldn't talk. And the fact that he answered one question, like, okay, I had one reporter from the town newspaper, one from the student newspaper, and maybe one from the other team we were playing. And there were times when I had to blow them off because I was so mad and so upset. And sometimes it was directed at a call during the game, and sometimes it was at my own team. But I think he was at that point last night that he knew that he was going to say something that he regretted if he kept going at that point. So he sort of like waxed eloquently about whatever, playing in the NHL, and then answered the one question and then kind of left the cliffhanger out there. And I was driving home. When did you first hear about it, last night?
I don't know. Should we even be talking about that?
Well, no, but it was crazy because it was so late afterwards, right?
Yeah, I know. I got a word from our buddy that we just mentioned, James Duffy.
Yeah.
It was at 12:40, and I was already sleeping. And he said, "Can you please
call me?" But it was so delayed. That was the whole thing. Like, it was so – because no one – there wasn't a single person at the time that said too many men on the ice. Not a single person.
Yeah, but Dave, when you see Cooper last night, did you not think that there – as much as you said mad, disappointment – did you not think that there was a part of him that was stunned? The Tampa Bay Lightning always win that game. The last 3 years they have, and they didn't do it, and it was almost like, I'm shocked.
Well, that's it. That was my point about to his team. There has to be a reason we lost, because we're the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we always win that game. Yeah. You know, we're sitting watching the game last night, and we're just like, okay, well, Colorado comes back and ties it. Tampa's going to figure out a way, and sure enough, their goalie stands on his head for the first handful of saves in overtime. You're like, they're going to do it again. They're going to get one chance. And, you know, the play it happens on, guys, was something that they've, you know, really been effective part of the game plan, and that was the long flip pass. So they throw it out there. It doesn't become an icing. And so, you know, to his credit, Kemper stands up and plays it. He makes a perfect, perfect lead pass to a flying Lekkonen, who had just come out. And, you know, and then he threads the needle to Kadri. Well, with Kadri, it was a terrible line change, but they happen all the time. And they're going to crack down on it now, and they're going to say, okay, we're going to call too many men on the ice, and they're going to do it through exhibition, and they're going to focus on it. Because they've done that a couple times in the last few years. Because teams get so good at cheating and so good at, hey, they're sending them out of that end of the box, I'm coming in on this end of the box. You know, I get my 10 feet there, my 10 feet there. You pick up 70 feet. And you know what happens the most is 3-on-3. In 3-on-3, they change like 40, 50 feet changes. And so it wasn't the change, but I agree with you. Oh, Coop was stunned because that play hasn't happened to them in the last couple of years. It's always gone the other way. And, you know, the sort of the icing on the cake, guys, if you stay with the play, no one knows it's in the net. How about Stammer trying to sneak it out of there? Did you see that?
Sneaky little play.
Did you see that?
Yeah, but like
he puts his hand over it, and he's looking kind of at the referee out of the corner of his eye. He's the only one that knows it went in at that point.
I don't think he can get away with that in this day and age.
He's going to sneak it out of there. And, yeah. And like, no cameras, nobody's going to see him do it. And then he doesn't even look when it hits the ice, he skates away. I thought that was just brilliant. Brilliant.
Pooley, I thought Tampa was fantastic in the regular part of the game, and then in OT, Colorado took over. And, you know, I went back on it. Game one went to OT. Game two, yes, it was a blowout, but game three was a blowout the other way. Like this, and then last night, OT again. This could easily be a 2-2 series. Or Tampa could be ahead if they won both of those OT games. So it's, I think 3-1, I wouldn't say it's flattering because I think Colorado has been the better team overall statistically and everything, but Tampa, I'm not sleeping on them winning next game. I think there's a chance they could do it. It's a very tough building, and everything will be stacked against them. But I haven't written Tampa off. They're a team that has been resilient, and I agree. I thought they were going to win that game last night. I thought they were the better team through 60, just not through the rest. The overtime, Colorado was clearly the better team.
Right, and through, we had clipped out a bunch of examples of how smothering their defense was for Tampa. They were doing a great job in the neutral zone. They were doing a great job in the defensive zone. And they only gave up, what, 4 shots in the first period? I mean, they yeah. played a very good game. I'm not sure they're not running out of bodies. And the bodies that are there, you know, are pretty banged up. I mean, yeah. Kucherov was not his electric self last night. How much of that was, you know, was the other night? You know, Nick Paul is beaten up, and Chernak is down now. That looks like, you know, he's down. Boy, oh boy, you'd love to see a healthy team right now. You'd love to see two healthy teams going at it. But Tampa's pretty beaten up. But I'm with you, Jamie. I'm not counting them out, and I don't think it's over yet. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they found a way. Because all they're saying is they got to win one game. They win one, they take it home again. Let it happen from there. And we know they've got a goalie that can steal a game. We know that. And you got to give Kemper some credit, too, last night, because he was good after the first couple. He was good. He made some really good saves. So, you know, it's may be a little disappointing in this series, although two games have gone to overtime. It hasn't been as competitive within the game sometimes as I thought it was going to be. I still think these are the two best teams.
Chatting with Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst. Nazem Kadri's possibly, you know, 48 hours away from being a cup champ and about 2 weeks away from being an unrestricted free agent. And he's not young, but he's coming off a career season. I think last night he only helps his case. The fact that he plays through what he has to deal with, the fact that he's, you know, surgically repaired thumb and he's scoring OT winners in Game 4 of a cup final is truly a remarkable characteristic that I think he should be very proud of. And I'm curious how much of his leverage when it comes to being a UFA will be that intangible. The fact that he is not a horse you need to drag out of the barn. He's a horse you might have to drag into it sometimes to settle him in because he wants to play. He's competitive every single night. Like, I don't think that value comes up enough. It's all about the statistics. It's all about the analytics. This guy, he'll go through a wall. For a preseason game, let alone a cup final game, how much would that possibly be worth to a GM in the future?
Well, it's the ingredient that's hardest to find and that everybody's looking for. And it shines through. And the frustrating thing for those involved with Nazem is it hasn't shone through in the playoffs because he's taken himself out of the picture on three different occasions. And the fact that he's grown up and is more mature now is the biggest single asset. The fire has always been the same. And the drive and desire, and not only is he coming to the party, he's taking other guys with him. He gives his line mates no choice but to be involved, and he's always involved. And, you know, I think he's going to have some interesting suitors, and maybe some ones we haven't thought about. And, you know, a team name came up yesterday that was very intriguing to me, and that was the Washington Capitals. And, you know, because it looks like Nick Backstrom is not going to be back, right? He's got that hip that, you know, that major surgery on his hip that guys just don't come back from. So, you know, you could plug him into it. Can you imagine Nazem playing with Tom Wilson and Ovechkin? What a nightmare line that would be. You wouldn't want to go out there against them. But he's going to get paid, guys. He is. And he does a lot of different things well. And we watched Zach Hyman get paid. And Nazem Kadri is going to get paid next year.
Yep, I fully expect that he will. Austin Matthews, on the other hand, has a couple of years left on his deal, and he's now a couple of days removed from winning a Hart and a Ted Lindsay. How many more do you project for Matthews? How many Hart trophies will he contend for or possibly win in his career?
You know, I went through this because multiple winners are rare, and in our recent memory, there's only one guy that's won it twice in a row, and that was Ovechkin. He's won three, but the third one was separated. And, you know, even McDavid's were, what, 20 and 24 years old? Were they 3 or 4 years apart? Crosby's were separated. And I'm not sure that that's the play of the individual or the voter. Like, I'm not sure if once a guy wins, that people don't look to somebody else who was really close last year. And it's not the right way to do it, but that's clearly, it's hard to win two in a row. I mean, guys just don't do it. And when you look at that factor, that weighs in significantly. Now, he could also go the other way and make 60 goals look like a small number next year. That wouldn't surprise me at all if he went, you know, way north. And because he is capable, and we can't lose sight of the fact that he's got the first line all-star right wing to ride shotgun with him. And, you know, that's a pretty good pairing when you can put two of the top six players in the league by voting standards on the same line. And they read each other and see each other so well. So I think he's got it in him. I'd be more apt to say he's got multiple rockets in a row. But because of the voting element of the Hart, I mean, we're watching some of the wacky things that have come out of the Hart voting. And I think it's great that this all goes public, and I'm a voter. And I don't mind at all the fact that my votes are made public. But, you know, you see some guys voting for him fifth, like seriously. And then you look at what town they're from, or you say, okay, well, are you trying to negate from your guy? And you know you got to vote for him, so you vote for him fifth, so at least he's on the record books that you voted for him, but you're trying to help your guy as much as you can. Clearly that's not the way it should happen, but I think that's the way it does happen sometimes.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday that it was pointed out to me in Edmonton that there were five people on the out of the 195 that didn't have McDavid on their Hart ballot at all, which, I mean, it's quite shocking. Like, you know, if you don't believe that he should win, which is fine, it's your opinion, but to not have him on your ballot, I thought that was...
Jamie, I told you, lose your vote. You lose your vote.
Well, yeah, but it's not your right to... The thing is, you can't lose your vote just because we disagree with their opinion.
No, it's because you're stupid. Stupid, that's why. But, how do you watch Connor McDavid get 123 points and don't have him on your list? You lose your vote.
Pooley, where do you lay on this?
We're back to the Baseball Hall of Fame when they went through that huge controversy, and they did take votes away from guys. But they were taking votes away from guys, though, that hadn't even been to a game or watched a game, and they still had a vote. And
come on, man.
You almost think that it's some kind of spite if you don't have an Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid in the top five. Like, you can't, like, show me five guys better. You can't. And don't say you've got a better way of looking at the game, because the majority is where the majority is. And those are two of the best players in the game. And to not have a guy like that on your ballot. And, you know, there can be a sleeper. Like, I don't think, I'm pretty sure I didn't have Kaprizov on my ballot. So the state of Minnesota may think, you know, I don't know my hockey because I didn't vote for Kaprizov. But, you know, there's a lot of good players. We understand that. But the best are the best. And to say that Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews isn't one of the top couple of players in the game makes zero sense.
Well, yeah. Those are the ones that I take more issue with. That if you concluded based on the arbitrary nature of the definition of valuable, that you look at, you know, okay, could the Leafs still do this without Matthews? All right, you know, could this happen? Okay, like maybe you can twist yourself into a position that puts him fourth or fifth or what have you. But it's when you do that and then push a guy into, like, the first pick on your ballot, that's when I'm talking about revoking, you know, voting rights, because it's ridiculous. If it's some random player in a market, you know, that whoever it happens to be, you know, Sebastian Aho first. It's like, come on, get serious. Like, I get it.
Right.
You know, like, I get it. He doesn't get enough love. He's a great player. But no, he can't be. And I'm just using him as an example. But those are right. The more extreme ones that you see. And you understand, like, the regional nature of the sport. There's a lot of people that only cover the one team. And that's what they know. And they understand the importance of their player to their team. And they don't really focus on anything else. And that's why you get a lot of this.
Way back last year, too, right, Brian? Because I didn't vote last year. Because of the pandemic, they trimmed it way back. So it'd be interesting to go back and look at last year and see what the voting was like. And someone will do that, I'm sure, and say, was it more equitable with less people voting? Like to your point, you don't just get to vote, right? You have to have some, I guess, credentials or some believability to be able to vote. And because I don't know, you said 190, Jamie, that's the number?
No, I read on the, you know, what is it? Cervelli puts out that statement.
Right.
And so it was 200 votes, but 5 disqualified by not getting in, like not forgetting to vote or abstaining or whatever. So there were 5
right.
taken off. And then there were a couple that were disqualified because they only put 4 people down when they were supposed to put 5. And he names them, like, you know, our buddy Rick Talkett. Like, there was a couple that I think he only put 4 instead of 5 on one choice. So he didn't get to choose on that particular award. And he lays it out there. So he said, with the heart, there was 195 votes. So you go through, there was 195 different votes, and there were 5 people that left McDavid off of. If you actually look at his numbers, he only got 190 votes, whether that was first or fifth, you know, right through to fifth. So there were 5 people that left him off, and obviously there was a bunch of, inspectors online last night, including Al's brother, that was pointing out, okay, here's a guy from like the Olean News. I don't even know what city that's in. That, you know, had, I think, Kaprizov first and had, I can't remember, like it was Huberto. There were still some very good picks
in
there.
No Matthews, no McDavid.
Yeah, there was one with no Matthews, McDavid, and then there was another one with like Ovi and ahead of Matthews. There was just some unique choices.
Sorry, it's not credible. You're not credible.
Unique choices. Unique. Listen, put it that way.
There's a lot of great players. A lot of guys that had great years this year in particular.
Exactly.
Right? Like there were a lot of guys who had phenomenal seasons. But
yeah, no question. But I think you have to have. You arguably are at a point where if you've got 195, you've got to go through the list and really, you know, you could put a panel together and said, okay, you know, does this person with a circulation of a paper of 42, you know, in a town where he doesn't even watch, you know, half the teams play, does he deserve to have a vote? Why does he have a vote? Does he just have it because of history or, you know, do you have to revamp that?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know if it's the top priority considering what happened last night.
It might not be.
Yeah, they might be dealing with different, you know, issues right now. We'll see.
Well, now, to the point, let's watch next game. And are they going to be really tight on the line changes? The linesman's going to be over there saying, watch the changes, guys, watch the changes. Yeah. And, you know, I was as concerned with the probably 4 calls that are called at any other point during the game that weren't called late in that game. And I know it's let them play, and I get that. But I think the players did a really good job at the start of the playoffs. Like, it was really tight at the start of the playoffs. And the players did a good job of adjusting. And they said, okay, this is the way it's going to be called. Because there were a lot of penalties early, and then it backed off, and guys just weren't taking penalties. But last night, man, there was a hit from behind. There was a trip. There was a low cross check. There was a hook. And I think it was almost equal to on each team.
Yeah.
Call the penalties. And those are 2 veteran refs, and that's old school, putting the whistle away at that point in the game. I have more of an issue with that than I do with the long line change.
Well, I'm sure it'll come. A day will come, Pooley, where we just review every single shift and we'll play. It'll be like cricket. Every game will take
5-hour games.
Yeah, no, it'll take 3 days, and we'll figure it out. It's no problem. We can get there. It's just a matter of time. All right, Pooley. Thanks for doing this, buddy. Enjoy Game 5 tomorrow night.
Enjoy the hockey, guys. Have a good night.
Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.